Next on The Balanced Word.
I have everything that God wants to give me, and within my ability to manage that, I can be free. I don't have to be enslaved. So are you going to be satisfied with what God has done? Or are you going to complain and act like, I don't know, man, God just didn't come through for me this month because I can't make my credit card payment, or I can't buy the things that I want to buy? And, you know, nowadays it's amazing what people think are absolutely necessary.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
It shouldn't surprise us that the wealthiest, wisest man of all time would have something to say on the matter of personal finances. Today on The Balanced Word, we'll turn to the Proverbs for some much-needed wisdom we can apply to our finances. Is it really a good idea to go into debt or co-sign on a loan? Just a couple of questions we'll deal with today as Pastor Dave Rolfe returns to his series, Smarter Living.
The average man thinks about something every 7 seconds. And no, it's not that, it's money. In fact, the average adult thinks more about money than they do about any other topic. About 33% of our thinking time for adults is generally spent thinking about money. Now, there are a couple demographics where that varies slightly. People between 18 and 25 think about their love life a little bit more than money, and people 65 and over think a little bit more about health than they do about money. But across the board, money is a major thing that people think about. And as you might expect, Solomon, the wisest man ever, has a lot to say about our personal financial lives. And so we want to look at some of the things that he teaches on in this area. He was a wealthy person, and yet he felt like this was something that was important to talk about. So for our first passage that we look at, turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 22. And we'll be looking at verse 7. Proverbs 22:7 gives us a basic principle, and that principle is being in debt is a bad thing. It's just not good. Proverbs 22:7, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. The borrower is servant to the lender. Going into debt enslaves us. Going into debt and allowing debt to dominate our lives actually causes us to be slaves. Now, in Solomon's day, and really throughout most of history, the way you became a slave generally was by going into debt. So someone would give you food or place to live or whatever, and in return for that, you would be their indentured servant. And if you were able to structure things enough that you paid back the debt that you owed, then you would be a free person. But up until that point, you'd be a slave. Most of us remember that the children of Israel were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. And you might say, how did a whole nation of millions of people become slaves for that long? Well, it goes back to the days when they didn't have food. The children of Israel didn't have food. Joseph went to work in Egypt and structured things in such a way that Egypt learned to prepare and save. And as a result, when Joseph's family were hungry, they came down to Egypt. They spent everything that they had, but they still weren't solvent. And so ultimately, if they were going to live, they were going to become slaves. It was okay for them to just be like government employees while Joseph was alive. But after Joseph died, somebody took over who didn't know Joseph. And now guess what, Jews? You are now slaves. And so Solomon's talking about something that's very real and very literal throughout most of history and certainly in his day, that people in debt became slaves. But it's something that's important for us to understand today as well. The impact and the effect of debt. Debt's a big thing for us, but debt destroys so much. If you are in debt, if you owe money and you're not sure how you're going to pay it, it gets in your head. If we are thinking about money, You know, a third of our waking hours, and that's what studies would indicate is the case, an awful lot of that thinking is thinking that will stress us out, that will burden us down. You never yet solved a problem by thinking about it. So thinking about debt just wears you out. But not only that, going into debt, taking on debt that you can't. Now, I'm not saying every debt. There are some debts that are good to take on, like to buy a house. Most people need to go into debt to buy a house, but you have a tangible asset then, and as long as you're able to make that payment, that becomes sort of a forced savings plan. Probably for some people, for instance, going to college in a way that will get you a good job. Paying for medical school, nobody ever really went broke because they paid for medical school. It set you up. But we're talking about consumer debt, just buying things that you use up. It not only destroys your thought life, it destroys families. If you talk to people when marriages fall apart, money is almost always one of the main concerns that breaks up families. It just does. It divides you. It enslaves you. Businesses, when they fail, usually it's because of mismanagement of debt. No business ever went broke who didn't have debt. It's sort of sensible. Nations in the world become in trouble. Look at what has happened to Greece in recent history because of debt that they couldn't pay for, but they couldn't manage. Look what's happening in Venezuela right now, where they went into a huge amount of debt, gambling on the price of oil continuing to go up, and instead it went down. And so you have a country that's completely falling apart just because of debt. Debt is destructive. Debt also, by the way, destroys churches all the time. They get to where they can't afford to pay for their debts, and it ruins them. They have big ideas, and all across this country, there are churches that have big, huge building programs that are half finished because they just borrowed too much money in order to do it. Debt does a lot of damage. It destroys everything that it touches. Now, in general, money is something that's important, and money should serve us. We shouldn't serve money. Money will either, when managed correctly, give you a freedom that's great, or it can become your owner, your boss, and now you become enslaved to money. In some ways, it works both ways, really. You know, you can become a slave to money because you can't afford to pay for the stuff that you purchased, but you can also become a slave to money when, even though you have plenty, you're scared to death to spend anything. You can't go have a nice dinner or enjoy buying someone a gift or something like that because you're so enslaved by it. Money should be something that makes us free, but in fact, when we don't manage it well, we don't manage it the way the Bible teaches us to manage it, and it becomes a horrible taskmaster. Now, let's just think about our country and see if this is in fact a problem. I have a few statistics. The average American household debt, consumer debt, just credit cards, the average household in America, $5,700 right now is a balance outstanding on their credit card that they're not paying for. Now, among that, and I could ask for a show of hands, I'm not going to do it, there are a lot of people who pay off their credit cards every month. So if you just look at the people who owe money on their credit cards, the average amount of debt for those families, $16,000. That's a chunk. There was a poll of Americans where they asked them if they were financially stable. And they took a very generous definition of financial stability. They said, consider yourself financially stable if at the end of the month you've been able to pay your bills and there's a dollar left over. We'll call that financial stability. 62% of Americans said, under that definition, I'm not stable. So that means at the end of the month, I'm a little bit more into debt. I'm digging a deeper hole. Just to not pay their bills. Now, 62% of people also in America have less than $1,000 in a savings account. Less than $1,000. You know, if you live in Orange County, your rent of an apartment probably at the low end is like, if you have rent less than $2,500 a month, you're doing great. That means you're 10 days away from insolvency if you have less than $1,000 in the bank. It's crazy. We certainly need to get a handle on this if, in fact, one of the keys to freedom is to not bury yourself into debt. The borrower, servant to the lender, it's something that we shouldn't be doing. Pretty much across the board in life, if you boil down, what are your goals in life? Almost every area of life, our goal ultimately is freedom. We don't want to be enslaved. We want the feeling of freedom. It's what our country was founded upon. The whole theory that you don't have to be slaves, you can be free. So if we don't get a handle on this, whatever else happens in our lives, we become slaves and we don't have the freedom to live life the way we really want to do it. Now again, if you are afraid to spend the money that you have, if you never do anything just sort of loosely and carelessly, or you don't ever have a nice dinner or something special, then you're a slave. I don't care how much money you have in the bank. But if you are spending money that puts you into debt, now you're a slave. The question is always, do you want to be free? Then there's a pathway to doing that, no matter who you are, no matter what your circumstances are. Now, the key to all of this is ultimately contentment. Contentment means, I believe that God is providing for me. I believe that whatever it is that He gives me, that will do what I need it to do. Contentment is key. Now, the one thing that our credit card society has done to us is we don't have to be content because we can spend money that we don't have. There's almost no time in history when it's been so easy to spend money that you don't have. Even, you know, in my lifetime, which is, yeah, I know it's a long time, but when I was a kid, there was no such thing as a credit card. You didn't do that. If you're like, oh man, our washing machine is making funny noises, you would go down to Fedco or somewhere and you'd pick out a washing machine and you'd put it on what they called layaway. And it meant every month you give them a little bit of money, and when you've paid for your washing machine, then you get it. If you know your washing machine broke and you're only halfway paid, sorry, you're gonna have to wash your clothes by hand until you pay off your layaway, and then you'll actually own that thing. And so that's kind of the way people did it. People would buy cars paying cash for them. Now, yeah, a new car was $1,500 or something when I was a kid, but still, all of a sudden, we invented this great thing called credit and made it so easy to pay for things that you couldn't afford that how in the world can we even see that God provides for us? Because it's like, well, if God provides, great. If He doesn't, I'll charge it. I'll just pay for it on credit and then go, wow, look how God provides. I had a friend when I was 13, I worked in a gas station, and there was another guy that worked there who was 16, which I looked up to him, to Tim, in a great way. But I remember when he got his first credit card, and it was for a stereo store, for Federated. And so he goes, you want to go to the store with me? And yeah. And so we went, and he checked his new card, and they told him it had a $2,000 credit limit. So he's going through the store, he's getting all this stereo stuff, light bars and all these things, and then we came and rang it up, and there was like $9 left on his credit limit. And we're running through the store trying to find something for $9. And that's how people think nowadays. That's kind of what they do. It's like, wow, if they'll loan me money, they must know something I don't know, because I'm sure they wouldn't loan me the money if they don't know that I could pay it back. No, they'll make enough money off of you, and you know they always make their money. They have this brilliant invention called a minimum, you know, monthly requirement, a minimum payment, and it's just a way of making you even more into debt, becoming more of a slave. If we want to be content, we have to be able to say no to certain things, because we have to understand, I have everything that God wants to give me, and within my ability to manage that, I can be free. I don't have to be enslaved. So are you going to be satisfied with what God has done? Or are you going to complain and act like, I don't know, man, God just didn't come through for me this month because I can't make my credit card payment, or I can't buy the things that I want to buy? And, you know, nowadays it's amazing what people think are absolutely necessary. A friend of mine was telling me this month that, man, it was really hard because she ended up having to pay for her daughter and her grandkids' cell phones for them. And I said, you understand, for thousands of years, people got by without cell phones. This is not a necessity. Now, if you need a cell phone, you can get a really cheap one. You get one of those old flip phones for $1 on eBay and for making calls. But no, I have to have the latest and the best, and it's how they make their money. And it's great. I have a family member who's completely broke all the time. Goes, wow, I got the new iPhone. And I'm like, what? And he said, yeah, it was free. T-Mobile just gave it to me. Yeah. And you're paying for it every month. But see, to be content means I know that God is faithful, and I know that He is going to provide for me. Therefore, what I do with what He gives me will demonstrate whether or not I am hearing from Him. That if it looks like God isn't providing for me, it's really because I'm out there spending money that He really didn't want me to. So can I remain flexible to Him? Most people who are discontented in any area is because they think that God's not giving them what they really need or deserve or are entitled to. It's like, I talk to people all the time who are in a relationship problem and they're concerned that maybe their marriage is gonna break up or whatever. And it's like, that would kill me. And I go, it wouldn't kill you. It doesn't kill you to lose a relationship. If you end up losing a relationship, by the way, to hang on obsessively to someone will not save the relationship. But sometimes you just have to say, you know what? This would hurt really bad, but if it happens, I'm going to be okay because God's still God. And I know He's going to be with me and I'll get through it. It's the same way with finances. We choose. Am I going to be okay with whatever God provides for me and figure a way through it, or am I not? And a lot of this with deferred gratification has to do with, if I say no to this, then I can say yes to that. We've really made it as a priority for our church to pay off the debt that we have for our church. We borrowed money to buy this place. It was a great deal. It's gone up in value. But I really want to, you know, I don't want to die with this place in debt. And there are always people who go, why do you want to pay off the debt? But see, every year when we pay off more of the principal on our loan, and every few months when Jerry goes and bugs our bankers and gets them to squeeze us another half a point interest, it frees up money to do things that are really important. At our church, nobody's ever trying to hustle you for money. When we have a together night, we serve a meal. It costs like 10 bucks a person. We don't take an offering for it. We don't charge people for it. Because we want to have the freedom for people to bring their friends, for people who are hurting financially, to feel like, hey, I have a place at the Lord's table. I have a place to come to church and feel like I'm like everyone else. Same thing with our Halloween alternative. We don't charge money for it. And those are the kinds of things. Our missions trips were like the Mexico thing. That we don't charge people to go. We don't raise money and stump to, please, you know, give money so that we can do this. If you handle things the way you're supposed to, you should be able to do really cool things because you're not as much a slave to what you have to do. Our church, at this point, our monthly payment is about a third of what it used to be when it was rent in another building. Well, what happens to the rest of that money? I take half. No, I'm just kidding. But it gives you freedom. It's the same way personally. If you learn to say no to certain things, because there are some things that we don't do, there are some services we don't offer, some programs we don't stump for, because I want to know, what can we say no to that will allow us to say yes to more important things. And that's the kind of freedom that Solomon's talking about here. Now, a related idea, if in fact, as we've said, hey, being in debt, consumer debt's bad, turn over to Proverbs 17 and verse 18. And we see another really important principle. And this is kind of a tougher one because there's something that people do that just seems like a nice thing to do, and we almost get guilted into it. But Proverbs 17, 18, a man who's devoid of understanding, that is, a guy who just doesn't get it, shakes hands in a pledge and becomes surety for his friend, that is, makes a deal and is willing to co-sign so that someone else can get into debt, basically. Now, again, this isn't the idea isn't that you should never co-sign. But what you have to think about in this context is my co-signing for this person going to jeopardize my own status? But even more than that, if I loan money to somebody, am I really doing them a favor? If, in fact, I help them borrow money, and so I am helping them become enslaved, this is really hard because sometimes you just look at it and like, it's not a big deal to me, but there are people who would like our help who, if we help them in that way, it could be the worst thing possible for them. Because if debt enslaves you, you don't want your friends to be indebted. You don't want your kids to be indebted. You don't want to facilitate anyone sinking deeper into debt if what that does ultimately is enslave them.
We're receiving God's wisdom from the Proverbs right here on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Roth. It's part of a series called Smarter Living. And you can request a CD copy by calling 949-362-7475. I should also mention this entire series is available on a USB for a donation of $10 or more. You'll receive all 51 messages in the series that'll lead you to smarter living as you hear and learn to live by God's wisdom from the Proverbs. So call us at 949-362-7475 and ask for the Smarter Living Thumb Drive. Our programs are also available online at thebalancedword.com. Thank you for your support of the Balanced Word Radio Ministry. It allows us to bring Pastor Dave's teachings to stations like this one all across the nation. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. You can hear him teach on a Sunday morning at any one of these three times, 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information or to live stream. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Let's return to Pastor Dave as he addresses another principle we can apply to our finances.
Turn over a couple of pages to chapter 19 and verse 17, where Solomon says, "He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given." So here's this principle. You have the principle, hey, don't be helping people get into debt. Don't be in the lending business to people. But at the same time, he's saying, when somebody's poor, if you give something to them, God will pay you back. You're loaning it to God. Don't loan it to them. If you feel led to give money to somebody, give it to them and consider that God's the one who's actually on the hook for it because he will pay it back. Now, putting those two verses together, here's the thing. If you want to help somebody, just give it to them. Don't loan it to them. There have been times when people are like, oh, I just need to borrow X amount of dollars. And I'm like, I have that. And I go, I'm really cheap, and so there's always something there. I could do that. And I do it. And I'm like feeling, it's cool. You want to pay back whenever you want. But all of a sudden, these people are avoiding me. They have this trip, like, oh, you know, and they see me and they hide and they do. And so I don't want to have that kind of relationship with people. So there are times when I have just told somebody who wanted to borrow money, go, you know what, I'll just give it to you as a gift. If I feel like the Lord's leading me to do that, I'll just give it to you. Well, I'll pay you back, I'll pay. I want you to understand, if you pay me back, I'll give it to somebody else, but I don't want you to feel like you owe it to me. You don't. I'm going to give it to you as unto the Lord. Now, again, this is not an absolute rule that you should give away as much of your money as you possibly can. A couple of weeks ago when Anson spoke on poverty, this point came up. It's not about solving poverty. Jesus said, the poor you have with you always. We cannot fix the poverty of the people around us. We cannot solve the poverty that's in the world. But there is something good that happens when periodically we just show that we will give money to someone just to bless them.
More wisdom we can apply to our personal finances next time on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Rolfe, a daily presentation of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel, online at thebalancedword.com.
Wake up my soul. Wake up.